Hi, this is Jim Sheehy, and this is podcast 34, which is called Borderline Personality Disorder. This is sometimes called insecure relational attachment as well, and it affects between 1 and 2 people in every 100. 40% of adolescents under psychiatric care have this condition. Its main symptoms are anxiety, depression, difficulties with intimacy, and indecisiveness. Why does a young person experience this condition? Usually, when growing up, their highly sensitive self loses their essential attachment bond with parents. Very often, the parents are not aware of what's going on until their teenager explodes or implodes in their behaviours. Initially, there can be a clingy, hostile ambivalence in relating to parents. These teens experience confusion and frustration because they themselves can't understand what lies beneath their moods, the sad, the angry, the anxious, the depressed. So in therapy, teenagers or even children speak of their inner world being like an empty hole, a maze or a tangled knot. When they tell their stories, they reveal a self that became ashamed for a host of different reasons. They keep this shame secret from everyone, even parents. When they become a teenager, they learn to survive by adapting to a pride front because they can't be going around with shame written on their forehead. So they can be very needy inside, but don't believe they are lovable and instead become the shoulder that everyone cries on, the caretaker. To parents at home, however, they come across as deceitful and sometimes even arrogant, doing their own thing, seemingly oblivious that their moods and behaviours impact the family atmosphere very negatively. What I say to these clients is, both the shame and pride identities are false, and where we need to begin is develop a new identity based on evidence. That is, the good parts in personality, family and friendship history they have, their own resilience in trying to live a contented life. I compare it to planting a new sapling and nourishing it with the evidence the client themselves come up with. They don't do compliments from others. Compliments work for folks solid in who they believe they are and what they're worth. But for folk with BPD, the compliments from parents, teachers, friends, etc., they just get lost in the inner emptiness. What does work for these people is evidence that they can't dispute. It would stand up in a court of law. For example, academic grades, sporting or creative achievements, etc. Remember, these are highly sensitive and will often excel in anything they're passionate about. But nourishing this new identity also involves shedding overused and outdated attitudes and behaviours, masks and defences that hurt, confuse loved ones. BPD clients want to attack me when I tell them their condition is lifelong. However, I offer them some hope. Each decade we live through is very different and more positive in experiencing and managing the condition. In the teens, the young person can be seen as high maintenance in the family setting. They have an intensity of mood that can implode or explode by isolating in their room or flying off the handle at the least challenge. They realize that they struggle with boyfriend or girlfriend. Three approaches they can find helpful in their teens in providing a platform on which to build self-worth and build healthy relationships are: number one, finding an activity like sport or studying academic subjects. Secondly, expressing their moods in art, writing, music, drama, or dance. And thirdly, finding a therapist or adult mentor they like and trust and they feel kind of get them. When in their 20s, work absorbs them for 30 to 40 hours a week, and this gives them time out from self-absorption at home. In their 30s, they are better at managing moods and are sufficiently self-contained to seek and commit to adult partnership and raising children. In later life, they compose a philosophy of life based on what reasons they have discovered to stay alive and feel alive. The life of the BPD child, teenager and adult is far from easy, but it can be relatively happy and fulfilling. They may, on occasion, have to take prescribed drugs to take the edge off depression and anxiety. What they need to learn are ways to develop interpersonal effectiveness, regulate emotions, communicate skillfully, and learn strategies to tolerate distress. I say to the client, the empty, confused tangle is part of who you are. There is no point in denying, hiding, or running away from that reality. But you can reach and grab what you plant on the bank around the emptiness. I describe these as trees, shrubs, and flowers. And these would see them through life. Trees are the one or two trust figures who get you and chat to you on brighter days and darkest nights. Shrubs are what absorbs you and are activities that keep you from self-absorbing in too much thinking and feeling. For example, work, interests and hobbies. And the flowers are treats, important because the life of someone with BPD can be intense, even exhausting. Flowers can be travel, eating out, beauty and massage treatments, for example. What can be very frustrating is the search for the right friend or partner. The friend or partner needs to be patient, compassionate, strong and firm. Quite a shopping list. This friend or partner accepts the positive qualities and the occasional slumps of someone with BPD. There will be periods of dependency when the moods prove overwhelming, but this does pass, and what emerges are friends and partners. They emerge as friends, great friends and partners, mums and dads, who are inspirational and become leaders in helping others in distress.